Hello and welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 17, recorded on the 30th of May, 2013. Just let them play. In this episode, we talk about round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We discuss the officiating and when you should call coincidental penalties. We make our predictions for the conference finals. And did you know Pittsburgh is not in Canada? All that and more next. Yes, round two is in the books, and we're moving on to the conference finals and the NHL playoffs. I'm Father Darryl Millett in Watson, Saskatchewan, and we've got the full crew here this evening. In Saskatoon is Father Jeffrey Young. Hello, Father Jeff.
How are you doing?
Doing awesome. How are you?
Doing really mighty fine.
All packed up and ready to move?
No, after we're done here, I'm going to keep packing.
Okay, so Father Jeff is moving to a new parish out close to me, actually, in July.
Exactly.
And also this evening, we've got Father Travis Mierheim in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. Hello, Father Travis.
Greetings from the north.
And you're not moving anywhere, are you?
I am not.
So you're staying in Prince Albert. Awesome. And Father Andrew Schoenberger in St. Paul, Alberta. Hello, Father Andrew.
Hello, Father Darryl.
So why don't we get right at it? This was a pretty awesome second round of the playoffs this year. Did you guys watch any of it?
All of it.
Oh, you did? Okay, great. So we have something to talk about. This is good. You can carry the show.
All right. Where do we start?
Why don't we start in the conference that wrapped up first?
All right.
That would be the East.
Yeah.
Yes, if I'm correct. So in the Eastern Conference, there was one Canadian team in play. That was the Pittsburgh Penguins. I was like, Ottawa Senators versus the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, there's a lot of Canadians on the Penguins.
This is very true.
That's in New Brunswick. Where's Pittsburgh again?
Yeah, it was somewhere tucked away down there. Ottawa Senators versus Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm not going to edit that one out, am I?
I hope not.
Okay, sounds great. Now, I think almost all of us ended up picking correctly in that series, except for one certain priest.
Woo-hoo!
But yeah, Pittsburgh. In fact, one of us priests picked it perfectly, the number of games even. But I'm not going to brag about that.
Mm.
So Pittsburgh won in five games. I don't think there's a huge surprise there. I mean, Ottawa is obviously not a bad team, being the Canadian team that made it furthest along. But Pittsburgh is, well, they just got a lot of firepower.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we got to be clear that almost all the priests and all the dogs in this competition got it right.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to be clear, all the Saskatchewan priests got it right. Father Darryl was spot on. Father Jeff, myself here, and Father Travis, we were one game off. We had it in six. So, and the dog, she gets generalities, but she got it right. So.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, no, Ottawa, you were saying they had a very impressive playoffs, and I think they surprised really everyone and themselves. And they, you know, they lost in five, but it was they weren't pushed over by any chance. Like, they did well.
No.
Yeah, except for a couple blowout games.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, Chicago, they all had those. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they lost game two by one goal. Game one, they lost by three, but I think there was an empty netter in there somewhere. But yeah, the last two games that they lost were definitely more of the blowouts, lost by four goals each.
Yeah.
But Volkoon, I think, is looking pretty solid in the Pittsburgh net.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep, he's going to take them to the finals. I think they're going to keep on winning and they're going to stick with them probably. He's pretty consistent.
I would agree on that one, but we'll get to the picks eventually.
Yeah.
We'll tease out, we're going to get to the picks later on, so stay tuned. Something like that. So here's the question. Is Alfredson back next season? Because he's, what, 40 or getting close to 40? Over 40? Something like that? Shows you how much research I do before this.
I don't know. What are your thoughts? Is he coming back?
He looked good to me. I mean, if he wants to, I think he could still play at a high level.
Well, it was the NHL, Father Darryl. It's pretty high.
Yeah, but I mean, he looked like he belonged. Like, not time to retire to me.
Yeah. No,
for all of my NHL experience.
I think because they had such a strong year, like they were, the idea was this might have been his last year or last year. The previous year was his last year because of the team was kind of going to rebuilding mode. But since they're doing pretty good, he might stick around. You never know.
Yeah. And I mean, Anderson, they got a great goalie. When Carlson's healthy, he's pretty awesome.
Mr. Anderson.
Carlson. Oh, yeah, Anderson. Sorry.
Mr. Carlson doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, two confirmation masses this week. Anyway, the other series, New York Rangers versus Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Looks like it cost a certain coach his job.
Yeah, that was stupid. I think Tortorella was doing pretty good the last few years. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess they were wondering if they were going in the wrong direction, because didn't they make it to the conference final last year?
Yeah, well, most teams, I mean, before he was around, I mean, New York wasn't even making the bloody playoffs, so I don't really understand, but most people would be happy to make it to game 6 or 7 of a, or, well, I guess they only made it to game 5. They made it to the second round. I think that's a good season, no matter what. If every year you're making to the second or round or more, I wouldn't mess with things, because you can't do much better than that just because you change a coach, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they were concerned more with the media outlook on it, because Tortorella has quite a reputation for his news conferences.
Yeah.
Those were fun to watch. Like they were showing highlights of all his different like sayings and everything. Yeah.
I'm going to miss that, but I think he might go to like Vancouver, or they'd be crazy out there because they're even more media obsessed. Like,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
Well, mind you, I mean, it's New York. It's not like it's a small town.
No, but more hockey, you know, they have other sports, other foolish people to make comments and for the Yankees and stuff. And so. Yeah, no, I think he, it was weird. He kind of took some heat because he benched Richards.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
And they won without him. But I'm like, whatever, you got to do what you got to do. And
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's going to immediately get hired right away somewhere else. And
yeah. But he's a proven winner. I mean, he won with Tampa Bay.
Yeah. It's sort of like the stupidity that Washington, like firing Boudreau.
Yes.
Like not only firing him, having to buy out his contract and basically pay him to go work in Anaheim. And I'm really bizarre. Like,
yeah,
they're changed. Like, at least run out the contract and don't renew it, but they're just wasting their own money and they're not going to find anyone better. Unless is that
I don't know whose cell phone that
Travis,
is
he getting called for the job?
That's mine. Right? I am not getting called for the job now.
So on that Boston series, then I think you got to give some credit to the Bruins for playing pretty amazingly.
Yeah, that's why I picked them to win.
See, I thought they were would have been tired after that Toronto series where they had so many injuries come out of it. But boy, oh boy, did they pour it on.
Yeah, I think they're going to, well, I don't think it was a matter of being tired. I think they were going to probably, they're meeting a tougher team, but they kind of stepped it up because of that. I think with Toronto, they let them have too much life or something. They underestimated them.
And this Tory Krug, who was an undrafted defenseman out of Michigan State, 4 goals in the series. I mean, what an incredible debut in the playoffs.
Indeed. I think Father Andrew should share some thoughts on things.
Well, considering the fact that I am the fraud of the four of us who has been following sports the least, for me to actually open my mouth would just show my ignorance on the subject at this point in time.
It's true. I thought you were wise until you opened your mouth. As the old proverb goes.
Except that, Andrew, you picked Boston to win, so hey.
I know. Actually, can I say something to my defense in all those picks?
Hey.
Said I figured I had to, you know, go the long shots or go home, considering I don't get any points for the first round because I didn't pick anything. So either I had to just go for the long shots, make it pay off so I'd be back into the race, or else I was out anyway.
That's great logic.
Yeah, sure.
It's true. That's,
unless we make like, the subsequent rounds worth more than the first round, but I don't know. I don't think
well,
so.
Well, if you would have had to tell me that beforehand, and if you had, then I would have actually, then it maybe would have affected things. I don't know. Or it could have just been that I'm just, anyway, just
that's like if you, that's like if you went to the horse track, Father Andrew, and you saw one sickly, half-dead horse amongst like 12, and then you said, I'm going to bet on him because everyone else is going to bet on the other 11. And if he wins, well, there we go. I get it. All.
50 to 1 odds.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
One thing about that series is that Boston's power play really turned it on. They weren't terribly good against the Maple Leafs. They were 15%, but in this last series, they were 4 goals on 12 chances. So yeah. The few times that the Rangers had a penalty, they made them pay.
And you know, you're talking about the young Tory Krug from Livonia, Michigan, I think it is. I don't know what MI is in America.
Maybe yeah, it's Michigan.
Okay, there you go. Livonia, Michigan. He's got 4 goals. 3 of them are power play goals.
Yes.
Just to be clear, he's got the second most power play goals in the playoffs right now.
Which is, astounding for a guy who wasn't even drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Livonia was a country. I didn't realize that it even was in the United States, but whatever.
Yeah.
Lesai.
They usually lose in the World Juniors quite poorly.
Yeah, exactly. They're in Pool D.
Pool D, they play against the Slovaks sometimes. Latvia. Oh, Latvia. Never mind. Yeah.
Right. Yes. So moving into the Western Conference, want to do that?
I don't know. Did they watch any of those games?
Probably not. But I said that in the last podcast, I said that San Jose versus LA would be the series of that round. Mm-hmm. And I think I got a case there, although the other series Conference,
I think that was better.
That was even better. But San Jose LA was pretty darn good. The home team winning every single game. Absolutely phenomenal goaltending on both sides.
Okay.
I mean, especially Quick. I mean, Quick basically won that game 7. It was outstanding. Save after save.
Yeah. He had, what, 2 shutouts in the round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an incredible series. Now, one of the things, there were a few controversial elements with that series. So in game 1, Rafi Torres kind of elbow/shoulder check to the head of Jarrett Stoll and knocked Stoll out, I think, for the series.
Former teammates.
And so Torres was suspended for the rest of the series. Now, to me, the hit, I don't know if the hit was suspendable to that extent, except that it was Rafi Torres who did it.
Yeah, really. I mean, he gets a lot of suspensions, and he's a repeat offender. They should just get back to singing children's music.
Yeah, exactly. Brush his teeth.
I have a lot of good memories of his stuff. Yeah.
But I mean, the last year's playoffs where he hit Marian Hossa there and got suspended for the rest of the playoffs, plus into the next season.
Yeah, well, I mean, Hossa, he got a concussion from that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but then again, like a brisk breeze could give a concussion to Hossa. So.
Now, that hit on Hossa was a lot worse than the one he hit on Stoll, I thought. At least as far as legality goes. Like on that one, he jumped up and, you know, nailed him right in the head. This one, he hit him in the head, but I don't know if he actually left his feet. I think it was definitely a charge, but...
It wasn't as bad, but it was still an illegal hit.
Yeah, and I think the fact that it was Torres just meant that they were going to throw the book at him again.
Yeah.
The other one of the other controversial things in that series, and it's actually been throughout the playoffs, is this whole mandatory, or I don't know what you would call it, this hard and fast rule of when a puck is shot over the ice cleanly in your own zone, then it's an automatic penalty. Because that really cost game.
I mean, shot over the boards before it leaves the zone.
Over the glass.
Over the glass, yeah.
So that really cost the San Jose Sharks game 2 because the Sharks were ahead by a goal, and they had a penalty near the end of the game, and then there was a puck that was shot over the glass. I honestly thought it was not terribly conclusive that it wasn't actually deflected, but anyway, it was called a penalty. Mandatory penalty, and On the ensuing 5-on-3, LA scored and tied it up. And then, while they still had another power play, LA went ahead and won the game in the dying seconds of that game. Very exciting to watch, by the way. It was in LA. The fans are going absolutely crazy.
But it cost Father Darryl his prediction.
Yeah, but that's not why I was bringing it up.
Well, I think they made the right decision.
But what do you guys think about that rule, though? Like, personally, I would like to see it have some discretion on the part of the ref. You know, so if the player very clearly shot over the glass to delay the game, fine, give him a delay of game penalty. But otherwise, I would say do like they do for an icing. You know, you're not allowed to change. Face off back in your own zone. You know, say it's a rolling puck or something, or it would
be the face off in their own zone.
Right, but I mean the ability not to change is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like I honestly don't see how shooting the puck over the glass delays the game any more than an icing does. So why is the one a mandatory penalty and the other one's not a penalty at all?
Yeah, in many ways.
Yeah, so we should make icing a penalty. I understand your logic. Very good.
Well, I was actually hoping to go the other direction with that logic, but...
We should make everything in hockey a penalty.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Or as Father Darryl would say, just let him play.
Exactly. Just let him play. That rule decided that game.
I think it's a stupid rule, but if they're going to have the rule... It can't be the discretionary thing, because that's going to actually put the refs in even worse situations. Because
it used to be, though,
because you can basically argue and negotiate with them. And no, I mean, yeah, in the old, but obviously they never would call it in the last few seconds of the game. But how do you discern? How do you figure out if something's intentional or not? I mean, it's possible, well, but it's sort of like it's like the diving rule. Right. Did you see it was the game last night? Was it who is it that Quick who embellished the
or last night? It was Detroit. It was Howard, wasn't it?
Crawford.
One of the goalies.
Yeah. One of the goalies embellished the hit. So they got the one team got the offensive player got the penalty, but the goalie also got a diving penalty. So basically negated the penalty, which was kind of silly, but. But no, I like the diving rule. And so I think the same, you could, I guess, have the no delay of game. It's just a general penalty. You can call for various reasons. And I don't know why they put it in. It wasn't like a lot of people are flipping the puck out of the net, out of the zone anyways. So.
Yeah. I mean, Kerry Fraser on TSN, the former NHL ref, had an article about that where he was arguing for it being discretionary, which is, I think, the way he had it most of the time he was a ref.
Yeah.
And I think it was mostly for the cases of, like, say it's an obvious rolling puck or something. Then, you know, something like that where the player didn't mean to shoot it over the glass, where it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, if you give the ref some leeway so that that was not called a penalty, that would probably be helpful.
Yeah. So in the case of that penalty, it didn't seem intentional?
It didn't seem, actually, to be honest, I thought it went off of the guy's stick, but I mean, the replay was inconclusive, and in split second, the ref can't really tell for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe if the refs, you know, took on some Ignatian spirituality and did some discernment of spirits there and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pros and the cons. And, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Consolation, desolation.
But in the end, are refs here to just call what is a penalty and what is not, or do they get discretionary powers to make the decision, say, like, oh, well, there's only 2 minutes left in the game, therefore I'm going to not call it a penalty.
Like, so, like Father Travis like always says, Father Travis always says, you can pray the Our Father, or these are similar words.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes the old Roman Missal.
Exactly. But that's a good point, though, because, I mean, like, the number of times a penalty gets called in overtime, very rare.
Yeah.
And usually when one happens for one side and they, you know, they kill it off, you know for sure in the next 10 minutes or so, the other side's going to get one, too.
If you can survive 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, it's going to happen. Like, it's just one of these kind of things.
Yeah.
But so how can it be a penalty in one part of the game but not a penalty in the other?
I'm trying to find a way to formulate the argument where it doesn't devolve into relativism, but I'm not able to do so.
Because of pastoral necessity.
There you go.
The ref doesn't have to apply what is right and wrong. Because relative to the situation and who's involved. Sort of like murder.
You're talking about the Canadian court system sort of thing, right? When the judges start making the laws.
So what did you guys think about the hockey in that series?
What are we talking about?
LA and San Jose.
I'm talking about seven reffing. Games.
Yeah, that's right. Reffing has nothing to do with hockey. I forgot about
that's
that.
True. Yes, absolutely.
I don't feel, I feel bad for them. Like a couple of those calls. The other call that you probably saw was the get in the Chicago game, right?
Yeah. We'll get into that one.
Oh, okay. But
as far as the LA San Jose series goes, I mean, I picked a 7 game, and in the last episode, I said it was basically a coin flip whether it would be San Jose or LA.
Yeah.
Ended up being LA, so I was wrong on that one.
Yeah. So the long and short of it is the rule should, I mean, since it's a rule, he has to call it, fine. It's like the foot in the crease kind of thing. Like that. Remember the Stanley Cup goal they won in Dallas?
Yes.
And so the rule is ridiculous. And to a draconian referee would enforce it and call back the goal. But come on.
I noticed they very quickly changed that rule after that goal was scored.
Well, actually, in fact, they changed it that game. They didn't.
This is true.
The ref just said, no, I'm sorry. And this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. What year was that? 99 or something like that?
97?
Whatever it was. Dallas versus Buffalo. Yeah.
That was a great series.
Brett Hull, overtime winner, win the Stanley Cup, foot in the crease, back when you could not have any part of your body in the crease.
Yeah, he had a quarter of an inch of a blade in the crease.
Oh, I think it was about half.
Yeah, it really helped with that goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was totally, like, in normal hockey rules, that was totally a good goal.
Yeah.
But in that crazy, weird year, it wasn't. Except for that game.
Which basically means that Dallas should not have won.
That's what Buffalo was arguing.
And well, I agree with them.
Probably still do.
And they should have moved back to Minnesota, the North Stars. And Gary Bettman should have been retired years ago, and Winnipeg never would have moved, and lots of good things could happen in the 90s.
Great things happen.
Yeah. For those that wait.
Yes. Well, if we're talking about refereeing, well, first of all, San Jose, LA, awesome series. Yeah. LA is looking scary.
Yeah. Now let's just refresh my memory. Who picked who in that series?
You know what?
Yeah, you Father picked LA.
My dog picked the dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, Chloe made some very interesting points, and so did I, actually. But yeah, L.A. L.A. was picked by man and beast alike.
Yeah. Chloe picked it in three. Now, that game last night, Chicago versus Detroit. Now, here's a statistic on that series. So up until game 7... the teams were totally even in the number of goals scored. Or heading into overtime, sorry.
Yeah.
Each team had scored 15 goals in that series. This is according to NHL and TSN, their Twitter.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, like, that is about as even as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
Like, the next goal wins, and wow.
And that's pretty pretty meager as well in 7 games, only 15 goals per side.
Yeah. I mean, both goalies are pretty awesome. Defenses are awesome. It was just a good all-around series.
Yeah. Refs randomly calling off goals when they're scored.
All right, let's get into this one.
50% of the goals.
All right, let's get into this one. So in game 7 with, what was it, about a minute and a half to go or so, Chicago scores what appears to be the go-ahead goal, basically to win the series. Yeah. And the goal is waved off because there was a little skirmish at one of the benches. One player gets knocked into the bench, and as he falls down, he drags down the other player with him and
punches him.
But a bit of a scuffle, whatever.
Yeah, he pulled out brass knuckles or something.
And apparently the ref blew his whistle as soon as that happened to call coincidental minors, but because the building's so loud, nobody heard it. And seconds later, Chicago scored.
Yeah. So, stepping back from, if you ignore all the crazy screaming Chicago folks, who are awesome, I know we have at least a listener that likes Chicago, and so do I. But anyways, not unlike the other sports fathers, I love Chicago. The whistle had it actually went. He actually blew the whistle. But even if he didn't blow the whistle, but he had called, this would have been a harder pill to swallow. Like if they just said that it was a penalty, he was calling coincidental minors. And even if he didn't blow the whistle, but in his mind, he consciously said, I will call coincidental minors and I intend to blow the whistle. And even they scored, it still would have come back. That's what the Carey Fraser was talking about. But the thing is, it was, he actually blew the whistle. So the play was dead just because they couldn't hear the whistle. That doesn't really change anything. I know it's tough, but there was still 3 minutes left. And Chicago, they were the better team. They were going to win. So they came back and they did their thing.
So is that like when the Pope announces new cardinals, and there's usually one or two of them that's unnamed because they're in some sort of persecuted country, the cardinal in the Holy Father's heart, but no one knows who it is?
Oh, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
It is. Man, I wish I could.
So is that kind of like that? Like, is if it's a penalty in the referee's heart, then it's a penalty?
Well, he blew the whistle before the puck went in the net, right?
But even if he didn't, as Father Jeffrey was suggesting.
Let's stop with that for a second. Now, if the puck goes in 2 seconds after the whistle or the buzzer goes for the end of the period, would that change it?
Say that again?
So if I shot the puck from the blue line and the buzzer went off and the puck goes into the net, is that a goal? Obviously not, because it's the end of the play.
Unless you're
the
playing
whistle
a silly,
is the end of the
sport.
Play, therefore it's over.
Unless you play a silly, silly sport called basketball, then yes.
This is true.
I don't want to talk about that.
This it's is true.
Really well, okay, if you want to do that, there's football
here's the better
too,
analogy.
But we're talking about hockey.
Here's the better analogy. You shoot the puck, the buzzer, for whatever reason, because the guys had too many beers, they don't push the buzzer at the arena. The time has expired and the puck goes in.
It's not manual, by the way, but anyway. No,
because
no, it's not. It's electronic. That's...
Well, not in Chicago. They do it the old-fashioned way, the Chicago way, the Sean Connery way. Okay? Anyways, I'll do my impersonation later.
What?
When did Sean Connery ever play hockey?
I promise you, people from Chicago know the reference, okay? Anyways, it's the Capone reference. It's the Chicago way. But anyways, no, it's like that. If the buzzer didn't go off and the time expired and they look back and like, oh yeah, the puck went in actually before the buzzer or before the end of the game. They're like, it doesn't matter because it just is. And same thing with the ref. If the ref intends to call a penalty, puts up his hand and he doesn't get a tweet out of the whistle even, or no one hears it, it's still a penalty. It doesn't matter whether it keeps going on. But the fact that he blew the whistle, it's pretty much definitive, because as soon as the whistle goes, no matter what, even if it was a mistake, they have
to stop. You also said, you made a good point though. You said that his hand was up to call the penalty. Therefore, it was called.
I don't know actually if it was.
I don't know.
No, it doesn't matter. You used a hypothetical situation, Father Jeffrey.
Yeah, I believe it's
in that hypothetical situation. You've already made a sign of what the goal's going to, or like,
yeah, but
there's only three plays in that.
Just hands up doesn't mean the play is called dead, because I think the Chicago thought that they were going to get the power play, right? So they keep skating because the boss, the San Jose guy pulls them down. The Chicago guy also takes a penalty while it's going on. So they keep playing.
Well, honestly, like, I don't think the Chicago players even noticed, but
anyway. Well, the whole bench, if you look at the bench, yeah, they're all watching this thing.
Right.
And then they look over and they're like, oh yeah, we scored. Yeah. And then they go all mad. Yeah.
So like, I just want to ask a question. I watched the clip, but did the guy who actually put his arm around the other's head, did he get a holding penalty?
I'm not sure what the penalty was, but it was coincidental. They both got a penalty.
Probably roughing. I forget what it was.
I would have thought it'd been roughing for the guy who went in, but the guy who grabbed him by the neck, I would have thought that'd been holding.
They both deserve penalties.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't think so.
Well,
I thought the guy who was the Chicago player was falling just kind of reached out and grabbed.
Well, no, they're like wrestling around.
Father Darryl, watching
each other. But he got knocked into the player's bench. And so as he's falling down, he reaches up and grabs the other guy's head.
Oh, he's having a long shift. He should have got off.
Well, he was knocked into the opposing bench.
Hey, Father Darryl.
Well, he should have got off.
If you and I were playing on the ice and you hit me into the bench, Now, wouldn't you want to run, get back into the play as quickly as you could?
Well, the thing is,
if I reach for your neck, that's basically, that'd be a holding call.
But he reached for the neck as he was being knocked down to the ice.
So,
like, he got knocked into the bench and then pulled out of the bench, and he was being thrown onto the ice. As he's being thrown onto the ice, he reaches up.
Yeah.
What's he holding? Well, he's being held.
You're bringing the guy down. Well, yeah. Okay, so you get hit and then you end up tripping the guy as you're falling.
Let him
stick your leg out. You're still impeding the other person from getting back into the play.
The other person's already doing the impeding.
Exactly. And this is my point, is this penalty, or I don't even think it's a penalty, had nothing to do with the play that was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, so therefore, if someone does a slash back in the defensive zone, even though the play's on the other end of the ice, shouldn't matter then, because it's not part of the play.
At the very most, it should have been a delayed penalty. At the very most.
Well, if it's coincidental, it has to be blown instantly. But
absolutely,
I didn't think it was coincidental.
No,
I thought the Red Wings player had the penalty, and that was it. But although, what's his name? Quincy? Kyle Quincy. So Colby Armstrong plays with the Montreal Canadiens, had a pretty good one on Twitter. He said after that penalty was called, he said, if the Wings win this one, they should carry Kyle Quincy off on their shoulders. Ha ha ha. Best penalty he ever took. And then he said, I bet Quincy isn't sad. S-A-A-D. Because it was sad was the guy who got knocked down. But anyway. Penalty ever took.
I'm looking at it again. The Quincy's head, I don't know why that's a penalty. What I think the penalty is pushed him down after, but whatever.
Yeah. So if you're getting pushed,
it was an awesome hit. Like, it was just like and he threw sod around like a little rag doll. But
yeah,
I'm kind of embarrassed to be sod. But anyways,
but where's sod's penalty though?
He kind of punched him in the face on the way down.
Yeah, whatever. Let him play.
Well, I agree.
Less than 2 minutes to go in game seven. Anyway.
You know what's going on there? This is my guess with the ref. It's because of what Quincy did, it's a serious enough thing that probably should be called because it's starting to get out of hand.
Right.
Like, just like throwing him around like a wrestling move. But he's also thinking on the back, because of all this stuff, this relativism, he's like, oh, I'm not going to give them a power play. I'm not going to give Chicago a power play with less than 2 minutes left. That would give the game away. So I'm going to call coincidental minors. By doing so, they kind of screw up the game anyways, right? So if he would have just called the penalty as a Detroit penalty, and so it would have been delayed penalty, right? Yeah. It would have went and scored or whatever, hypothetically. And so it would all been fine. But because they're trying to do this conditional calling and all this stuff, rather than either letting them play or actually just calling it for what it is, rather than trying to make even and all the even it all up and try to just to calm them down and stuff like that. That's what happened. He's probably just trying to avoid causing a power play in the last 2 minutes, because then that would have been the controversy.
Yeah, I imagine Welcome was probably as relieved as anybody when Chicago won in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of discretion that's given to the referees in hockey. Say, I mean, they should be fair. They should be consistent in all of their calls. Specifically in every game, hopefully for the whole season, but at least within a game. So therefore, if they're going to call it, well, as long as they're being fair and calling it for both teams.
I think once you get into the third period of a playoff game, especially the seventh game, you've done all the coaching and the conditioning and the reffing and the warnings you can do. Guys should be able to moderate themselves enough. And most refs would just stop calling penalties. And what he was trying to do was trying to still do that by giving a coincidental minor, sort of like the goaltending interference and the embellishment one, right? Where they called coincidental minors, but still to enforce the penalty, but without tipping the balance of the game.
Yeah, you're having your cake and eating it too.
Exactly. Just stay out of it. Let the animals wipe them or sort themselves out. Right. Put out the goon to beat up Quincy. Okay. That's in the third period. If they can't play 20 minutes without, you know, descending in chaos, well, the ref isn't going to fix that anyway. So just stay out of it. It's hockey. Come on.
All right. Well, it is hockey, and there's more hockey to be played. So how about we move on to our picks for the conference finals?
Ruff, ruff.
All right. I got Chloe's coins here as well. How about we start in the Western Conference this time?
All right. What's the standing so far? Do we have a updated standings, or are you going to put them up?
I'll post them up there. I haven't added
okay.
them.
Okay. All right.
I think you might be winning now, though.
I sure hope so.
I didn't do so hot in this one.
You did pretty good, but I got a couple
you,
more.
You should have stuck with Chloe.
Actually, I did get 3 points if you include the bonus point for picking the Pittsburgh series in 5. But anyway.
Yeah, and I got a bonus for the Chicago series.
Yes, you did. All right, so the Blackhawks of Chicago versus the Kings of Los Angeles. Brother Jeff, what's your pick on that one?
Blackhawks against Kings? Well, as the great Sean Connery once said... They send one of yours to the hospital. You send one of theirs to the morgue. And also, he also said something else. I think they pull a knife, you pull a gun.
You call that a knife? Oh, wait, that's a different.
And that's guy. When he said, that's the Chicago way. All right. Anyway, Chicago is going to win. And they're going to win. They're going to beat up LA like nobody's business.
How many
Chicago,
games?
Chicago in 6.
Okay, they're going to beat up LA, but it's still going to be 6 games. All right.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's LA. I mean, like they're gonna pull out a couple at home.
Father Andrew,
you know, I'm gonna go Chicago in 4.
Oh, sweep! Get out the broom.
Hey, I'm gonna say right now, if he gets that right, we'll give him 5 extra bonus points.
Okay.
If you call a sweep, you should definitely get bonus points.
All righty, Father Travis.
Chicago 7.
I'm going to go off of what you guys are doing. I'm going to say LA 7. They're just reminding me too much of last season, and Quick is playing awesome again. And
you better just keep your head up this next couple weeks with all my connections in Chicago.
I know. I'm going to make a lot of enemies here doing this.
Yeah.
But you only make
them enemies once.
I think this is going to be an awesome series, though. I will say that. And it would not surprise me at all if Chicago won. But I've just got this feeling like I did with LA last year.
Well, the reason I'm choosing Chicago is because I think that they were scared a bit with Detroit. They had to come back from 3-1 in order to pull it off. So I think that they're going to be a bit more dedicated in this next series.
And for Chloe's pick, I've got here a nickel from 1951, a Canadian nickel, and the royalty at that point in time was King George. So the king is the Kings and Tails is Blackhawks.
Oh.
And Chloe picks the Blackhawks.
Well, of course she did.
So Father Daryl, well, actually all you guys, our good friend Crusader Maximus tweeted me his pick is Kings in 5.
Kings in 5. And I also got some feedback too on Facebook and Twitter. At R.A. Burns picks Hawks in 6.
Did he say Mr. Burns?
R.A. Burns, Twitter handle.
Oh, not CM.
Anthony picks Chicago. Lori picks Chicago and then in all capitals, woo! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Who is she cheering for?
I don't know. Chicago was all caps too. Cindy says Hawks. Her Penguins are going to beat the Hawks in the final. John picks Toronto. Oh, wait, that's the East. Whatever.
Hey, Father Travis, aren't you cheering for Pittsburgh as well?
We'll get to that one. Ian is picking LA, and so is Aiden picking LA. So I got a little bit of support on that one. But how about move to the East then? Pittsburgh and Boston. I went last. I can go first this time. I'm going to say Pittsburgh in 6. Father Travis.
Well, I really think Pittsburgh's going to win, but I'm going to pick Boston anyway, and I'm just going to go wussy again and say Boston in 7.
Boston in 7. I think these are two really good series. Father Andrew.
Pittsburgh in 5.
Pittsburgh 5. Father Jeff.
Pittsburgh in six. And I don't know when it was in our one of our podcasts. It wasn't the first one on the NHL, but I did. If you go back further enough back, remember I said Pittsburgh and Chicago in the finals. That was also keeping in mind they were like unbelievably at the top of each conference at the time.
Yes.
But I did predict Pittsburgh, Chicago, and I'm sticking with that. Pittsburgh in six.
Yeah, I think their firepower is just too much. And if Volkoon keeps playing as good as he is, then I think they've got it. Volkoon doesn't need to be spectacular, just solid.
Yeah. Yeah, they got enough offense that as long as the goalie doesn't make a bonehead decision or move.
Chloe is going to pick, and I've got a Canadian toonie here, $2 coin, which has the bear on the one side. So the bear is Boston. Chloe picks Pittsburgh.
Of course she does.
Dang you, Chloe.
You don't know that the night before we do these podcasts, Chloe and I go out for drinks and we talk over our plans, our picks. So that's why we're doing so good.
Oh, cheater.
And then with our online picks, did you guys get anything sent to you? I can just read what I got.
Okay.
So R.A. Burns, who picked Chicago, is picking Pens in seven. Anthony's picking Pittsburgh. Laurie is picking Boston. Cindy's picking Pittsburgh. John's picking Toronto. Hey, John, how's it going? Boston for Ian and Pittsburgh for Aiden. So definitely more Pittsburgh than Boston in my totally unscientific poll.
Are you calling our followers and listeners unscientific?
Yeah,
I'm calling my methodology unscientific.
They call this poll unscientific, not the people who give their predictions.
I think he's saying the people because they're so religious, and religious people are against science. So,
oh yeah, sure.
That's what I was taught.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Well, Father Darrell, you have to excuse them for not being able to properly use their philosophy.
Yeah.
They're not properly philosophizing.
No logic.
Therefore, I answer that Pittsburgh will win in six.
Is it fitting, though?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Now that we've alienated everybody by bringing out Aquinas, I don't know.
That's why you keep me on the show.
Exactly.
It's a good thing there are no other sports in the world happening right now except for NHL, right?
Yeah, no basketball whatsoever.
Or tennis.
Or baseball. Or CFL preseason.
Nothing at all.
There's CFL preseason?
Well, soon. They're making lots, or they're getting close to training camp. Lots of speculation whether the Riders will sign John Chick.
Oh my
gosh. Apparently Hamilton's also in the fray with that.
What is the deal with Hamilton? Why do they take they're wannabe Rough Rider people.
They're like the New York Rangers of the early 90s. All the former Edmonton players.
That's the greatest compliment anything or anyone from Hamilton has ever been given. That they're the anything of the anything.
Now, of course, they did win a Stanley Cup in the early 90s, so uh-oh.
What?
New York. Yeah, Hamilton won a Stanley Cup.
The Hamilton Steelheads.
Where have you been?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is such an awesome episode. So we want to hear what you guys think about the upcoming series and also about the playoffs as they've been going so far. What do you think about the refereeing? Was that a penalty, coincidental penalty in Game 7? Whatever. Do you like St. Thomas Aquinas? Let us know. Go to thesportsfathers.com, leave a comment in the show notes or on Facebook or Twitter. The information's all right there.
All right where?
Thesportsfathers.com.
And have an awesome night.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
哦, man. This is going to take hours to edit.